2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that being rich, because of you he became poor, that you by his poverty should be rich. Now here the grace, the word grace, is used as a word to describe something that Christ did. The grace is his act of becoming poor. And the result, or the purpose of this, I should say, first of all, the purpose of this becoming poor, or this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, was that we might be rich. Now, I also believe that that would have to be the consequences of the grace, since that was the purpose. Now, it's not true that when we have a purpose, that that's always the result or consequences of what we do. If we have a purpose in doing something, for instance, I have a purpose in speaking to you this morning, and the purpose is to share with you some thoughts about this matter of the consequences of grace, which in my purpose is that it will be helpful to you, meaningful to you, and to the glory of God. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the results or the consequences, because that's beyond my control, isn't it? It has nothing to do with me. But when God has a purpose, the consequences will be the same thing. Purpose, what he intends to get, and what he gets are going to be the same thing eventually, aren't they? What he decides to do is what he will do. That's what we believe. So many people want to revise 1 Timothy 2:4 and say, God desires the salvation of all mankind, as though that weakens or allows for some sort of escape to the conclusion that all mankind will be saved. And the King James says he will have all mankind to be saved, and that's pretty strong. And so many versions, you know, have revised that. And they'll say he desires or he wishes. Now, it doesn't bother me that they want to change that, because it fills the same thing. Because if you want to say that God isn't going to get what he desires, or he isn't going to get what he wills, you're saying about the same thing. You're still saying that his purpose is never going to end in consequences which are the same as his purpose. Now, about consequences, I always think of the story of Jonah. And you remember that Nineveh was an enemy to Samaria and to Israel, the northern kingdom. And you remember that the Lord appeared to Jonah and spoke of the wicked city, Nineveh. And the message that the Lord gave to Jonah was that you are to go to them and tell them, I'm going to destroy you. Now, Jonah wasn't sorry about that message. I'm going to destroy you, Nineveh. That to him was a pretty good message. But he didn't like the idea of him telling Ninevites about it. Because He saw the consequences of his telling the Ninevites would be that they would repent, and the consequences of that would be that God would be merciful, and that was the consequence he was concerned with, the bottom line. The consequences of God's mercy, and Jonah knew exactly what the consequences of God's mercy would be. Now, we have to remember about Jonah that he lived in a land where the Ninevites, they weren't just like the Russians. They weren't just people who had propaganda against Israel. They were people who were attacking Israel, killing the people, making them slaves. They were people that were enemies in that sense. They were dangerous to them. And Jonah did not want them to be spared. So he ran away, and the consequences of that was that God gave a storm, and that the sailors, and one thing led to another thing, didn't it? And Jonah was thrown overboard and swallowed by the great fish, and then he was vomited up on the land and so forth, and he went into the city, and he told them the message that God gave him to tell. And as a result, the consequences were that the people repented. And the consequences of that was that God was merciful, and he spared the city. And the consequences of this mercy in Jonah's life was that he went up on the hill and he sulked, didn't he? He was angry. He sat there under the shade that God provided miraculously for him and purposely to give him comfort up there on that hot mountain looking over the city of Nineveh. And he was waiting for them to get destroyed, and they never got destroyed. They got spared. And so he sulked and he complained. And he said, I knew this would happen. Because that's what your mercy does, you see. Your mercy spares. It doesn't give them what they deserve. Now, it wasn't the point that they didn't deserve it. The fact that the people repented did not change the fact that they were murderers and thieves and tyrants and slave owners and whatever they were. It didn't change all that they had done wrong. They still were Ninevites, enemies. But they repented, and God showed them mercy, and that's what his mercy was, and the result was that they were spared. So the consequence was that they were spared. Now, the grace of God is not exactly the same as his mercy, because the grace involved more than just a feeling. It actually was a work that accomplished things such as justification, conciliation, reconciliation, all these blessings that we've been speaking of.